We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi.
And the number alone should have been the tip-off in spring training that Anthony Rizzo was going to be here sooner rather than later.
I'm statistically the greatest New Yorker of all time.
The 0-1. Rizzo drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Home run to right for Rizzo, and the Cubs lead 9-2.
As Rizzo gets on the tarp, he makes a catch.
We have seen him become a superstar, Anthony Rizzo.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Everyone came here to do one thing, and that's win the World Series.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Thank you so much, Chicago, for this opportunity. Thank you so much. This is your team. Thank you.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
And the pitch on the way. Anthony drives one. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Rizzo.
Just like that, the end of an era is now upon us and will likely accelerate today toward the deadline, perhaps even during our show as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We will talk about yesterday, all of it. What a sports day. We keep saying that. It's like every day seems like it's bringing more and more with unexpected and expected things.
Russell Westbrook went to L.A.
Scherzer and Turner went to the Dodgers. I mean, everything was happening.
Ayo Dosunmu is drafted by the Bulls.
It's like the Elmo on fire gif all the time. So we're talking about all of it today. Brooks Boyer is going to give us the way to optimize your White Sox experience if you're headed for the game. He's coming up at 10 o'clock. Adam Hogue at 11, Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago, and all kinds of surprises along the way. 312-644-6767 is the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send an email, that's Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. There's texting at the Text Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook if you want, by liking the 670 The Score page. Twitch is the way to go, as far as I'm concerned. In my humble opinion, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hey, how's it going? You can join the Twitch chat. There are some odd birds in there having their fast-moving conversation that is moderated by Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertz. They also control the video editing that you see. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer, and Jordan Malley is on the board. Yeah, that was just some wild stuff yesterday.
It started with me somehow nailing a prediction in sports trading. Call it karma, if you will, that the White Sox, thank you, Rick Hahn in front office, proved me correct with Ryan Tepera. Then things started to escalate. Anthony Rizzo was the news of the afternoon. Then we get to whatever was happening with the Dodgers. Then they decide to trade for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. And I don't think they're done. And then we find out about Russell Westbrook And then the Bulls capped the night off drafting Iodesumu.
That was kind of a cool thing, right? And I think that you made this point earlier. That's better for the University of Illinois than it is for the Bulls.
In this moment, yes.
Right?
I love it. I think it's a win for the state of Illinois as a whole. It's a win for the idea of keeping your talent in town and showing what that can actually do. And I equated it to a conversation I had a long time ago with Yasmani Grandal, talking about how Miami is considered an epicenter for baseball and how much the culture loves it and how much people love it. But for some reason, the Marlins didn't like having homegrown Miami talent. And
not to mention those of Cuban extraction, because that's your particular local ethnicity there.
Well, and it being an epicenter in a lot of different ways, culturally speaking, for the game. And we've talked a lot over the past few years about Illinois getting back to dominance. And Iodesumu, even then, knew that when he was being recruited, what him going to Illinois meant. And so to have the symmetry there of him being drafted by the Bulls, and he's talked on our radio station, he had the watch party in Chicago, Chicago luminaries were there. There's really just a wonderful story there. IHSA tagged me in a post and a bunch of other people saying congratulations to Io. And that has more for all of us as value. He becomes a public good as much as he does get paid, play NBA basketball and all of that.
Yeah, and I don't know how good he is at basketball, but I know he's a great kid. And if he doesn't make it, it's not going to be for lack of effort or professionalism or dedication. I mean, he really, the character upside on him is enormous. And he's not going to get outworked. He's going to get everything out of what he can do. And if for a developmental upside pick, I understand it. And for them to see the future in him, you know, somebody like, you look at a guy like Fred VanVleet, who was a second round pick, who also they knew would just work his ass off to get the most out of what he could do. And I like it. What the hell? Why not? There are obvious aspects of his game that need fixing. There are mechanical aspects of his jump shot that they have to work on, and release point and you know, using his lower body a little bit. But some of the stuff you can't teach, he has. And this will be one of the first aspects of their developmental phase. So that happened yesterday, too. But I liked what we sort of were hit on during transition, the idea of a Hub using the term grieving and figuring out what we're grieving here, whether it's not losing an individual player. Look, say what you want. Rizzo's on the downside of a career. He's in decline. He's not what he was. He's a first baseman only. His back's not good. And if he wants to play well for the Yankees and give them the left-handed stick and the on-base percentage and take advantage of that ballpark, great. More power to him. The fact that you got two top 12, a number 9 and the number 12 prospect in the Yankees organization for him is astonishing to me.
That's the money right there.
Astonishing. I mean, with familiar names in Alcantara and Vizcaino, both former Cub names, I'm not related as far as I know, but that is, that's something. That's meaningful. These are young guys, but these are genuine prospects, not like the Darvish return. So I wanted to read this note from Stonecutter, who says, "For me, as a Cubs fan, there's definitely grief of what could have been, and there's grief over how it's ending with a giant thud. But I'd be lying if I said that either of those were the main sources of pain as I watched this get picked apart. The Cubs weren't good this year with these guys. They're going to be worse without them. Pretend the Cubs announced that they're moving Kimbrel, but they've agreed to extensions for Baez and Bryant. That's not enough. And if they do that, they're not adding more free agents. The Ricketts have their Wrigleyville empire that's going to keep generating money around their Hooverville baseball team, excuse me. It's better. The whole thing feels like a horror movie trope where you get what you want, and then you realize it's not what it was cracked up to be, and now you're stuck in the false dimension forever."
I appreciate the contribution. By the way, Twitcher's asking if I went to Lala. No, I did not. Just wanted to get that out there. That was asked of me a few minutes ago, and I just wanted to note that.
Have you seen the photos?
I did not go, partially for that reason.
Have you seen the photos of the density of the crowds? Can I tell you something?
So I just wanted to clarify that for a second. You cannot project my social whereabouts based on my skin tone through lighting in a TV studio.
And can I just say this? Lollapalooza is a mistake.
Guess we'll find out.
It's a mistake. Look at that. That's a mistake. That's an abdication of responsibility. Knowing everything we know, everything the CDC is finding out, everything we all understand anecdotally. If you don't know somebody, some fully vaccinated people who find out that they're asymptomatic carriers or have found out that they have had it, never even knew, but what's going on with this Delta variant, man, I can't believe they're packing millions of people together like that.
Well, and either way, I just didn't go yesterday, so don't assume things unless I say them. When it comes to all of this, though, it is, here's my other concern with this, is that what if all of these players the Cubs get rid of over this amount of time, kind of like you, Darvish, are good on their other teams? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to know that if these players flourish on other teams, it's not probably just a change of scenery because you saw them be good on the Cubs, that it was the wrong support system around them? And I'm not saying David Ross. I don't implicate David Ross in this because I like what he's done with the team. But that the drafting and the personnel moves that were made weren't enough.
Are you talking like watching Cameron Payne in the finals?
Yes, I am.
Watching Bobby Portis.
And Bobby Portis, yeah. Yes. That is exactly the feeling. And Taj Gibson still being great. And is Derrick Rose coming back to town? Are we even going to address that today? But you know what I'm trying to say here is, mm-hmm. What happens if Rizzo is the guy that the Yankees thought he is?
He may be for them for this period of time and may just be the right team, right park, right time.
Also, Yankees, you got a demographic in mind with your trading for Rizzo and Joey Gallo?
How you doing?
Other than left-handed power here?
Left-handed power Italian guys.
Like, I just okay. Who? What name with the O is being traded for next? But... You know what I'm getting at here.
And it's okay. I always say you got to take that out of it, and you wish them well, and you hope the players that you like do well. You don't worry about it, and you just look at what you get back.
No, but I think if we're trying to evaluate this, and we're trying to grieve properly, and we're trying to figure out what this team could have been, you have to look at that.
Sure. With that in mind, as we were doing with Kyle Schwarber before he got hurt, I've got a little bit of news. I talked to a major league source a little while ago. A little bit of news regarding how the Yankees ended up with Rizzo, because Schwarber is involved there too, and just might be of note. Also, how the Cubs handled the game yesterday and how they handled the usage or lack thereof of Rizzo and Bryant. I think we should discuss that next as well on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And the 2-2 from Hembry to Hayward. Swing and a miss, and the ball game is over, and the Reds have beaten the Cubs by a score of 7-4.
I'm really in tune with the game and not the vibe in the dugout, so, you know, that may be a better question for a player. I think the things that are going on obviously probably have a pretty big impact, if not anything, a little bit of mental things going on in a guy's head. It's just probably natural for them to think about those things if they're in those rumors or in those categories. So, but you'd have to ask them.
David, what was the plan for pinch hitting? Were you going to go with KB if you got to the ninth spot in the ninth inning, or what was it?
Yeah.
You know, if everyone's going to fly to Washington?
Is everybody going to fly to Washington? Everybody's going to fly to Washington as far as I know. That's a tough question, Mike.
I'm not sure about how that was all handled yesterday. David Ross talking about what the plan was. I think people were expecting that either Rizzo and or Bryant was going to get a chance for a curtain call there. Much like, I don't know, David Ross did. And they didn't. And I understand why. I get it. Before the game, when we got the lineup.
And it wasn't as weird as the White Sox lineup.
No, it wasn't.
Nothing will be that weird.
But it was, we noticed that there was no Bryant, no Rizzo in the lineup. And apparently Ross told people it had nothing to do with the trade deadline. That's a lie. I'm sorry, that's a lie. Of course it did. And that's okay. We understand it. And this idea of, and I know that there are people who respectfully disagree with me. I think Matt Spiegel yesterday called it an affront to the fans or an insult to fans that they didn't get to pay their respects to these players. But It's business, man. You can't have a guy throw out his shoulder or pull a hammy or tweak his back.
Well, didn't they get around it by saying scheduled days off? Because theoretically, you can schedule any day off.
Schedule a day off right before the game if you want.
Precisely. You can schedule, yes, you can schedule a day off. So wasn't that the way they described it?
Well, everybody understands. Everybody knows. You cannot risk, if you're going to get back the Yankees' 9th and 12th prospect on their list, and you're saying that you're going to instead have a possibility that all of a sudden his back could stiffen up again with one swing? Hell no. You're sitting right here next to me.
I did get a lot of communication yesterday from people reaching out saying that they were going to the game. They were wondering if it was going to be Bryant and Rizzo's last games, and they wanted to see them. And I do feel for fans in that respect, because what are you left to do? That's an emotional moment where they want to grieve as well, seeing as how that might be the theme today on the North side. And it's a tough spot to be in from a fan standpoint and a very tough one to be in from a team standpoint, because who's your responsibility to there in that moment?
Your responsibility is to the team, not the fans. It would be nice if you could do something and have, I don't know, you let them stand on the top step of the dugout and wave afterward, or there might be some way to have your cake and eat it too, where even though they're not playing, you can, I guess theoretically you could, if you know what's going on, do something like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you want, Anthony Rizzo, have him stand up there and he waves to everybody.
But how awkward is it if the trade doesn't happen?
Right, or if you're in the middle of trying to do it and you're trying to leverage two teams against each other. I mentioned I had some info. I am told by a solid MLB source that the Yankees were really close on Schwarber, that they were more interested in Schwarber as their left-handed stick.
Again?
Right. But something in the medicals was red flagged. And they moved on to Rizzo. That was some information I got from a source. And I don't know if it's the hamstring. I don't know if it's the knee repair. Whatever it was, they had people look at the medicals and say, we're probably better off not. And again, I don't know if it's the current injury and how he's healing from the current injury, or whether or not it's old stuff going back to the obviously traumatic injury that he had as a Cub in 16. But something of note there.
Well, I'm very curious how that affects Schwarber moving forward then, because that wasn't the same reaction that other teams had regarding him. Mm-hmm. So what did the Yankees know that others might not have?
Doctors have different opinions. Just like, you know, the Bears and Saints disagreed on Cameron Meredith and what would the structure of or the success of the surgery that he had. I don't know. That's why you hire doctors, and people have different opinions on things. So it may be right, maybe wrong, maybe neither here nor there. But for their rental, that was that's how that went down.
Do you know what the corresponding roster move was on the Red Sox?
No.
To make room for Schwarber? Apparently, Brandon Workman was back there again. You remember he had like 7 minutes with the Cubs earlier, and they designated him for assignment. I'm like, oh, Brandon Workman again. Oh, I got DFA'd again.
I mean, that's the life of some of those guys who exist in the in-between. That's if you're on the end of the roster, you're on the end of the roster. You know, you deal with that.
Yeah, I'm always interested in what the corresponding roster move is. And it really goes back to one thing that happened where only Chris Kamka and I could truly appreciate it.
What?
Mike Olt was DFA'd for Austin Jackson twice in the same city.
Mike Olt and that's okay.
And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I remember reading it the first time and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Mike Olt used to be like the golden goose of Texas Rangers prospects, and Austin Jackson is from my hometown. So I was always kind of interested in that move whenever it came about, even though I didn't live here yet. And then it happened again. And I was like, wait, what? Didn't this, what?
A true deja vu baseball moment. Yeah.
Yes.
The texters are coming in fast and furiously here. It says, what rational person gives a hoot about one more Rizzo at bat? I care that the face of the franchise is now a Yankee.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Well, but again, this was a 32-year-old first baseman in decline, and you turned him into prospects. Yes, he is all those things, and he was the face of the franchise. He was there. contemporaneously with the teardown, the fallow period, the drafting and the build back, the acceleration in 2015, the World Series championship, and then the heightened expectations and the tremendous disappointment. He was there for all of it. He caught the final out of the World Series, and that's all great, but that's stuff that happened. That it does has nothing to do with his future value. And he may find out that he was just valued a lot more by the Cubs than he is by Team X, whoever it may be when he's a free agent.
But if emotion is stripped from all of us, nobody's listening to our radio station talking about the Bears' whereabouts today. I mean, you have to acknowledge that there's emotional attachment to players.
Well, the whereabouts of Akeem Hicks is different. That's like, where's your starting tackle and he's not there and no one's saying anything. He is back out there today, by the way.
But you know what we're trying to say here. It's like, there's a reason people care. And like, and you felt the same way about Chris Bryant. You're like, Chris Bryant will be traded to another team. Chris Bryant will play baseball for that team.
Yeah,
but
that,
it's just not that, it's not that simple.
No, but that's more because he's got really valuable years. Like the next 3-4 years, I mean, he's a really, really good baseball player. That's why it's different for me.
I seriously can't believe, given that the returns we're seeing prospect-wise for players, that that's what the Yankees gave for Rizzo.
Right.
It just, and I, somebody pointed out, yes, right field at Yankee Stadium is cute. Mere mortals can hit home runs there. But that's not still the reason that you, that's not purely the reason you acquire him.
The 847 says, the only fans that should be disappointed not seeing players one last time are 10-year-olds. Any adult needs to reassess their life.
That's dumb, too.
I don't know. I get it. I understand. If you're a grown adult, you're like, I wasn't allowed to cheer for somebody at the ballpark.
The face of the franchise always changes. Grow up. Why can't people have different feelings about something? Is that not allowed? Everybody has to have the same opinion about everything all the time.
In Edison Park, it's Brian on the score. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Layla.
Hello.
Hello, Layla. Hello, Dan. I enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you.
As I was getting on the highway, I heard the replay of the final play of the game last night, and I thought that it was particularly poignant that the final out was committed by Jason Hayward, striking out, of course. So I realize that's a bit of an aside and a bit of piling on, but it really sort of signifies the end of an era in a slightly different way.
But he's still here.
I know. And he's still bad.
Well, he's not as good as they paid him to be, without question. But again, they won the World Series. I guess I didn't see any particular symbolism in that.
I think he's trying to say that he'd rather have Anthony Rizzo than Jason Hayward. Or that somehow Jason Hayward symbolizes what the Cubs could have been. But I agree with you. You don't win the World Series without him.
312 texter says, when the teardown is complete, the biggest loss of all is Theo Epstein. I know why he walked. He saw Ricketts cower at the big boy table. That's part of it. I just think he also felt he was at the end of his cycle here. He had talked about 10 years being how long something goes, and he's got other things that he wants to do. But I think you're absolutely right that understanding, looking at the budget numbers and looking at that they didn't want to play the same game the Dodgers and the Yankees are playing when we thought they might. Some of us thought maybe, just maybe, that they were in, and the fact that they were creating all these revenue streams, that money would be plowed back into the team, and it's not. They would prefer to keep more of that money, and we know that now.
Well, they're at least not spending it this year, and we know that to be sure. But I'm still trying to figure out, by the way, what happens to Javi Baez? Because there are still rumblings out and about in these baseball streets that Javi Baez is going to join the Mets. And Javi said himself, if he wanted to play somewhere else, it was alongside Francisco Lindor, which to me is the infield version of the Dodgers getting Max Scherzer. So I think that that could be a real possibility here.
And there's talk of a large package deal of Zach Davies and Chris Bryant going to the Mets, possibly. There's everything else sort of twisting in the wind. And we'll see what's left of the Cubs by end of business today. We've got White Sox stuff for you when we come back, because Brooks Boyer, the White Sox VP of Sales and Marketing, he and people with the team have been trying to figure out some of the logistical issues that have been occurring at Guaranteed Rate Field. And he can tell us what their solutions are and how you can have the best White Sox experience coming up on this homestand. He's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.